At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is not here. He's in Peru. He's in Machu Picchu right now. He was good enough to see that place. I've seen that place. Have you seen that place, Chris?
I've seen pictures of that place.
Okay. Well, you got to hurry up because they keep threatening that they're going to close it down for tourism any day now. So, Simon was waxing poetic about it. It's a bunch of rocks in the mountains.
Well, I think it's probably a pretty cool place. I know people that have been there, and they've definitely felt the same way Simon did. You know,
it's beautiful. Yeah, you wonder a lot when you're up there. You're like, how the hell did humans build this? You know, More likely than not, it wasn't humans. It was aliens that built it.
Well, that I don't think that's. I mean, that's settled. That's settled science at this point.
Yes, it is. Yeah. As always, and by the way, people that believe that I believe that, yeah, I do believe that. This show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3 yards. The promo is the number 3 yards. And get this promotion. Trust me, you're not gonna find a better promotion than this. You make a $5 play. Like, look, obviously, if you're opening an account with Prize Picks, you're gonna deposit something, right? Well, okay, deposit something and make a $5 play. That's it. A $5 play. And they give you $50. It's as simple as that. As always, we are brought to you by BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com/5reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. All right, Chris, we're here.
We're here, and Simon's off trying to find a crystal skull.
Right? Simon does strike me like he's like that middle-aged action star. You know what I mean?
He would do well with an Indiana Jones hat.
He would, right?
Like he could put on the he practically wears some of the Indiana Jones, like, you know, clothing anyway. I think he gets away with it. I mean, not the jacket, but I mean like some other stuff. I think he should put on the hat. I think he should just go for it.
Yeah. One thing about Simon, man, every time you post those videos of him playing flag football, I'm the least hater-ish, if that's even a word, a person in this world. I wish the best for everybody. But every time I see him post pictures of him playing flag football, I keep thinking to myself, this fucking guy's going to tear an ACL, and he doesn't even know it at this point. Does he know that a 50-year-old man is not supposed to be doing those things?
I worry deeply.
Like, there's an injury happening there, right? He's not playing tackle football, but you're still dropping back. You're running side to side. You're planting. You know, you're doing athletic things that are not allowed for 50-year-old men. You know?
God bless. He somehow does it. Although to be honest, like, just having known him, he takes his share of injuries. And that man does get hurt.
Well, I'm essentially crippled, and I crippled myself from a high school and borderline college career. And if people ask me, would I do it all over again? The answer is absolutely not. I would not do any of that over again. I'm not going to give the cliche answer like yes, I'd cripple myself again. No, I would not.
Wouldn't change a thing.
I would, yeah, I'd change everything. I would never play a single down of football, and I would stick to playing baseball, which was what I was probably better at. Oh man, hey, college football is in full swing, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. Did you see the Canes, Chris?
I saw a little bit of it.
Excited?
I saw a little bit of it. I spent the weekend actually in over in Dunedin area, because a buddy is getting married soon, so we did a weekend out there. Got a house and brought together a bunch of people and we're hanging out. And so yeah, the game was on. I saw a little bit of it, but I couldn't really watch it close.
Cam Ward, man. Woo.
That I have seen more of. I've seen the what little I have seen of him has just been everybody going to pieces over Cam Ward's performance and saying, this is the best that they've ever seen him. And now the train is already off to a fast start for him, being a high draft pick and all that. It's taken
Yeah.
off.
And to think he'll make, if he is a first round draft pick next year in the NFL, he will make less money than he's making this year for an NIL deal with the Hurricanes. So, yeah.
This is my favorite development in college football. The idea that rookies would go into the NFL and take a pay cut from what they were getting in college.
Yeah. All right.
Phenomenal.
Well, enough college football. There'll be plenty of time to talk college football as the season moves along. Let's talk Mike McDaniel. Extension. Pretty excited about it. We kind of smelled it coming because, spoiler alert, the general manager has been extended very, very quietly, and nobody knew about it until some enterprising journalists asked around, and the answer came back, yeah, he's been extended to like a year later. But Mike McDaniel extended. I'll tell you precisely where I was at, okay? I was in a pool in Key West when I'm looking at my phone, smoking a cigar, drinking a beer, and I look at my phone and there it is. And everybody's going on and on OnlyFans. Oh, he's extended. And I'm like, who got extended? And I was thinking to myself, who's left to be extended? I'm like, oh, holy shit. They extended Javon Holland? And I look it up. No, it's Mike McDaniel. And by the way, if you want to listen to all that stuff and you want to interact with us on OnlyFans, you got to go to Discord. Okay. And you go to discord.gg/OnlyFans and you become a member there for $3 a month. Mike McDaniel extended. I was excited. I high-fived my daughter. My wife is like, that's pretty cool. Now I want a playoff game. My wife is very, very results-oriented, Chris. You know, she doesn't, she did, re she really didn't understand me and my daughter high-fiving over Mike McDaniel getting extended, but I was legitimately happy. This is the first coach since Jimmy Johnson, and let's face it, Jimmy Johnson's extension was a please don't leave extension.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then all the ones since, the Philbin one was a 1-year extension just so he wouldn't be a lame duck coach. The Sparano one was
Correct.
out of sheer embarrassment because I got on a plane to go get Harbaugh.
Correct.
Right? So this is the first legitimate extension since the Jimmy Johnson extension. And that Jimmy Johnson extension, like I said, was kind of made under
Yeah,
duress.
that was circumstances. And as I recall, even with that Johnson and extension, that was when they brought Dave Wannstedt on, right, to try and mollify Jimmy and say, hey, we'll bring your friend here, he'll be your coach in waiting and stuff like that. So I mean, like, that Johnson extension was that was questionable circumstance. That's easily as questionable circumstances to me as giving Joe Philbin an extra one extra year so that he's not on a lame duck contract. Or giving Tony Sparano an extension because you're embarrassed that you got caught, meeting up with Jim with Harbaugh. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but you're pretty excited, right? Because I am. I'm very happy for this development.
This is this. I mean, for the first coach that we've given an extension to for all the right reasons, since Don Shula. I mean, who? Hey, check your pulse if you're not if you're not excited.
Yeah, and I said this on Twitter earlier today, and I really do believe this. He could have done the easiest thing ever. Okay? He could have come in here and said, you know what? We got to reboot the quarterback position, which buys him time on his first deal. Okay? That's not what he did. He said, let's get him weapons, and we're rolling with this guy at quarterback. If it goes tits up in year one, he could get fired in year two. It's as
Well,
simple as that.
see, I disagree a little bit there because I don't think he would have been hired if he came in, kind of like, yeah, I don't know about this Tua guy that, that you're talking about. Sort of if he was like, well, we'll see. We'll see. If that was his attitude, I think that they probably would have steered towards somebody else. Because, I think a big part of the draw was that he is an offensive, a very, very well regarded, because at that time he didn't necessarily have high reputation value.
Hate to interrupt you, but let me push back a little bit. If they wanted a Tua lackey, would have they not hired just Brian Daboll and call it a day?
Well, seeing that's the thing. If well, so I don't know that I don't know necessarily know that Brian Daboll was 100% a lackey. I think people just assumed he was. But I think that one at the time anyway, Brian Daboll was kind of leaned elsewhere. Like, I don't think it was. I mean, I'm not saying that the Dolphins said no to him or he said no to them. I think that there was kind of like a both of them leaning elsewhere. What I'm saying is that if Mike McDaniel's interviews were not the way they were, including about Tua Tagovailoa, who, by the way, had just survived the Civil War, right? The Civil War between Brian Flores and Chris Greer was over Tua Tagovailoa. And so if the guy that you were looking to hire was just kind of, whatever about Tua, yeah, we'll go a year, we'll see, if he was just kind of that way, then I think the Dolphins either would have leaned towards somebody that they felt or gone after more heavily, somebody that they felt was, gung ho about Tua Tagovailoa, maybe Brian Daboll after all. Or they would have leaned towards somebody on the offensive or on the defensive side, or somebody that had experience perhaps, or that they could more reliably get defensive acumen out of. And so I think that it went hand in hand. Mike McDaniel was hired. Mike McDaniel impressed them in interviews, but one of the ways he impressed them in interviews was talking about Tua and talking about the compatibility between that quarterback and his system. And obviously he was not BSing anybody because, that's been real. That's been a very real thing. So I don't say no, I don't agree that he could have said, okay, we've got to move on from the quarterback now. I don't think that would have ever happened in 2022. If, no matter what Mike McDaniel said, I think Tua was going to get that 2022 anyway. I think really the easier thing would have been in 23. In 23, especially after Tua took all those concussions, there was definite sentiment within the building that like, I'm not sure that we can really trust this guy. And I think that Mike McDaniel stayed very steadfast into his corner through that process. And I think that a lot of 23 came off as a lot of vindication all the way around, both for Tua and for Mike McDaniel for sticking with him. And then we wonder why, they're feeling themselves a little bit on other issues, i.e. the offensive line. They're feeling very vindicated on several fronts right now.
Yeah, and I think with this, we can move on to the roster right before we go to break, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the landscape in the AFC East because there's great interest in the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. Not so much in on the New England Patriots. Like they're on the fast track to having a pretty awful season and drafting the best tackle available in this coming draft. So it's mostly in the second half we're going to talk, where the Dolphins end up this coming season and a little bit about the Jets and the Bills. But let's talk about the roster right here. As constructed, like, what do you expect as a change? Because I'll tell you what I expect as a change this coming year. I expect the running splits, the running pass splits, to be more in favor of the run. And I do expect them. I think they had 2,300 yards rushing last year. I would have as a goal 2,500 yards rushing this year. 200 more. 200 more should place you in the top three, guaranteed. Almost, it's almost guaranteed. Because last year they finished, I believe it was sixth running yards in the NFL. Baltimore was number one. Obviously, I'd love to have them to be number one, but I believe that 200 more yards, if they get 2,500 from the run game, that will put them in the top three. I expect the team to have a heavier run pass split. What do you expect the most on offense, the biggest change?
Well, I think I've said this before. I do expect more attempts, but I expect less yardage on the rushing front. I expect the yards per carry to kind of go down a little bit, which is not saying a lot. It was at 5.1. That's kind of ridiculous on an NFL basis. On a full for a full team. What I mean to say is that's pretty high. I do expect that to come down. I expect the attempts to go up, but I don't necessarily know if the yards are going to go up. But that's kind of on a very broad basis. I think that offensively, I would have said a little bit more on three wide receiver and 11 personnel. Except the first four games, they're going to be playing at least those four games without Odell Beckham. And I think that maybe that's maybe something that they wouldn't have thought would happen at the time that they signed him. I'll just say, and so I think that that's a development which is going to lead to a lot more 12 personnel, with Jonnu Smith being used a lot as a second tight end. And so there's going to be a lot more 12 personnel at least in those first four games. When Odell Beckham gets back, I do expect to see more three wide receiver personnel, and I think that you're going to see some exploration into the usage of tempo to try and hurt defenses. And so I think that that's going to be an interesting thing. I think that they're going to push a lot of things to the limits, a lot of things that we've already seen, but sort of push to the limit. Devon Achane being one of them. Devon Achane as a pass catcher, and as a running back, you're going to see him. I think he's kick returner number two on the depth chart today, which is interesting because in the new kickoff, you put two returners back there. So Devon Achane's going to be sitting on one side, and Braxton Berrios is going to be sitting on the other side, and I guarantee everybody's going to kick to Braxton Berrios. I think that that's going to be interesting. But yeah, you're going to see a lot of that push to its limits. Hard to say what they're going to try and do with Malik Washington, because it's going to be a lot about kind of what he's showing you as the season wears on. But I do think those two things, tempo, more pass catching from Achane and such, that's going to be on offense. On defense, what I'm really trying to get at, it would be a really disappointing if we don't see some special blitz packages with Chop Robinson, being used creatively. because they did it in Penn State. It was one of the reasons the Dolphins drafted him. And if they don't do it, then I'll be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, I completely agree. And before we go to break, since you brought up the defense, yeah, that's we're gonna do that next. The defense, the main difference you're gonna see is I thought last year you had a pressure five defense that never brought five. I think this year, I think it's almost in his DNA. I think Anthony Weaver wants to bring pressure. I think it's his thing. I think he will bring five pretty often. I think that this is going to be one of the heavier blitzing teams in the NFL. Not that they need to, because I think with Jalen Phillips and Chop Robinson, once the season gets going and Phillips feels his legs under him, I think they're not going to need to do that too much. But I think it's in his ethos. I think it's an ideological thing with him. I think he wants to bring pressure, and it would not surprise me if somebody like a Channing Tindall becomes a specialist on this team on third downs.
Well, keep in mind Jordan Brooks's prowess as a blitzer, and that goes all the way back to college. So we haven't seen a lot of that because it's preseason, and people just haven't seen a lot of what some of these new guys look like, in the Miami Dolphins system. But I think that that's a big thing to keep an eye on. Even before we start talking about Channing Tindall, who may not see the field if everybody's healthy, so I agree with you. It's going to be a pressure-based system, but it's going to be a lot of the sort of pressure that you might have seen with a Rex Ryan type of defense, which is say, overloading sides or creative blitz fronts, a lot of which four guys are actually coming, type of I think type of defense is what you're going to see on that side.
All right, on the way out, we didn't talk about this. We're going to go to break right now, but we very quickly, the makeup of the practice squad, anything you wish to add to the group of guys that they brought in? You need a refresher on who made it on, or you got that in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me, but I think I mostly know who's there. They
Well,
have some
I'll go
different.
quickly before you take us to break. Naquan Jones, I'm over the moon with that signing. That makes me almost forget about Neville Gallimore, who actually is a Ram, by the way. By the way, every single cut that they made of those guys that we mentioned, including Chris Brooks, who ended up a Packer, they're all on other teams. So this team did a pretty nice job in filling out a roster. I love Naquan Jones as a pickup. Other than that, I think a guy that's actually going to play on Sunday, wide receiver Grant Dubose, is a hell of a pickup. And Robbie Chosen is well liked in the building. And like I'm fond of saying before, he runs in a straight line really, really fast, and there is a place for that on this offense. Your thoughts on the practice squad makeup?
I'm very curious about what ends up happening with Robbie Chosen, Grant DuBose. I mean, the wide receivers in the practice squad, Robbie Chosen, Grant, are Eric Azikama and Dee Eskridge, with Grant DuBose as the fifth on the roster, the actual protected 53-man roster. That's kind of interesting. We needed a real reset, I think, in that at the bottom of that unit. And I think everybody kind of thought the same thing, and that's what we got. Because now you're talking about new faces. You're talking about, well, a new old face in Robbie Chosen, but a new face with Dee Eskridge, a new old face with Robbie Chosen, a new face with Grant DuBose. The previous bottom of the depth chart wide receivers were not cutting it. And I think that's interesting. But I think they got the right defensive lineman. I share your opinion on Naquan Jones. I did a big video of it on him on Twitter, on my feed, when they signed him to the practice squad. I think that he moves around really well, and fits, very well, in terms of the makeup of the player for this style of defense. But I think they also made the right move by getting Jonathan Harris back. I think that was a key get back on the practice squad. So that's going to be a big positive for the Dolphins. I don't know what they're doing at the quarterback position with Tim Boyle personally.
Damn it, I was trying to make it through the episode without mentioning his name.
Yeah, well, it's a shame I ruined it, but at the same time, I just don't get it.
Like, look, I could read. I like to say, look, they could sit me down, you know, and pour the lights on me, or and like, I think it's a Clockwork Orange where they open that guy's eyes so he has to see something. Remember?
Yeah.
I could have Mike McDaniel come to my house and do a PowerPoint presentation on Lester Cotton, and maybe I won't be as hostile. But I don't see how the hell are you gonna sell me on Tim Boyle. Like, what is there? I don't know. Like, what did you see?
I saw nothing. I mean, this guy is if he's, I called him the Zach Wilson of Mike White's. And I meant every word. And so I just don't get it. I, developmental guy who's 30 years old. He's going to be 30 in a month. And he's a developmental guy, which is weird to me. I don't understand it, but obviously, hey, as long as everybody stays healthy, then I guess I don't care. But yeah, so there's that, and that was confusing. But they did right by on the practice squad by the defensive backs too, I think. Getting Nick Needham back on that squad was very was a very positive development, because that wasn't necessarily something you could have assumed to happen. So getting Nick Needham back and Isaiah Johnson, who was playing well in camp and preseason, I think that was they did right by those two positions, the defensive line and the cornerbacks unit. Whether they did right by the offensive line, for example, with Anderson Hardy or Baron Matos, who he looked like an international player who was learning the game for the first time, I think, in preseason. Baron Matos did. So that's going to be, you're going to be waiting for a long time on that one. Anderson Hardy, have no idea. Obviously, Hayden Rucci, we're all big fans, so I think they did the right thing there. So overall, the defensive line corner positions, Hayden Rucci, and then, a kind of a full reshuffle at the wide receiver position. That's how I look at that practice squad right now. And I think that it was probably, those things needed to happen. Don't know about the quarterback position.
All right, we're gonna go to break, and when we come back, your favorite part of every single year, predictions. But first, these words. Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sport. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right, only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks, because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards, and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3 yards on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, and we're back. All right, we're going to get the predictions in short order, but first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about the AFC East. That's the landscape. Let's start with the defending champions for, 4 years in a row? This past year, Jesus Christ, there was a time where the Dolphins were 9-3 and they were 6-6. Somehow, they both tie at 11-6. And yeah, we know who won the division. So let's take the Bills first, okay? Because if there's any indication, we're going to talk Jets next. And when we talk Jets, we should have about 2 or 3 million people listening to us because they're the most popular team anywhere because everybody's picking them to be not only going for the playoffs for the first time like in 18 years, but getting the one seed and winning Super Bowls and all kinds of things. So we'll get to them next. But the Bills, I'll start here. On offense, it's pretty simple. Out goes a bunch of wide receivers. Out goes their center. They return everybody else. Dalton Kincaid should be a little bit better. Mac Hollins is a starting wide receiver for them this year. Okay.
I was going to say, are you making a commentary on what he is in general or just laying out the fact that that he is somehow starting for them?
Look, everything that everybody is saying about, oh my God, it's Armageddon in the wide receiver core for the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, it's Armageddon in the wide receiver core for the Buffalo Bills. Okay. In the secondary, DeMar Hamlin is starting at free safety this year. Now, I don't understand why Cole Bishop is
that
not.
Is that actually DeMar Hamlin or is that his body double? That because apparently according to many people he died.
Yeah. Matt Milano out for the year. And Terrell Bernard, really nice player. He's going to be back. I guess he'll play.
Yeah, but Tyrell Dodson isn't.
No. Their defensive line, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, they're back. Daquan Jones on. Actually, they got Daquan Jones for a little less money than they had him for the year before. Greg Rousseau on a new contract. AJ Epenesa. The cornerbacks, Christian Benford. It's essentially what I'm getting at is this is a much weaker team than they were last year. Okay.
Yeah, a lot weaker.
If you're not going to get them now, you never will. Period. Your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills in 2024?
I don't know about that just because, it's all about taking care of business on your end. And, let's say we go through a space. We're the oldest. I think a lot of things just came out that the Dolphins are legitimately probably the oldest roster on in the NFL right now. The oldest, set of starters. They're the longest in the tooth, basically in the NFL, which is very unlike Chris Greer in his history. So you know, you could easily imagine the oldest roster in the NFL being injury prone. And that's without even considering the specifics of guys that were, you know, that were used to being injured all the time, like Teron Armstead and Isaiah Wynn and stuff like that. So it's taking care of business on our end is first and foremost before we can start saying, you know, hey, if you don't beat the Bills right now, then you're never going to beat them. The Bills are in bad position. I don't like this at all. I think that this is the wrong quarterback to have a total. They're having a Kansas City-like reset at the wide receiver position where, you know, last year was supposed to be the down year for Kansas City, kind of a retooling because of the wide receiver position. But they won it all anyway because of Patrick Mahomes. And the defense. And I don't see they're doing that same thing with their wide receiver position, their pass catchers unit in Buffalo. And this is not the quarterback. Listen, I love Josh Allen. I have since way before it was cool to love Josh Allen. In fact, I was probably one of the lone voices in that draft that was, you know, like, you know, damn, hey, that's a good pick. You know, everybody else was just universally panning that pick. But I saw a lot of him, and I've seen a lot of him over the years and what he can look like when the pressure's on him too much, the pressure's on him to start, you know, kind of doing it all himself. And this is the thing that he always runs into that he has since college. And I think that you're kind of begging for trouble with that pass catcher's unit with him, especially with Joe Brady's their offensive coordinator, right? Yeah. You know, I think that with Joe Brady as the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, where's his claim to fame? Where was he successful? You know, he made a real name for himself at LSU with what's his name? Joe Burrow throwing the ball, right? But who was catching it, right? Look at all those receivers that they had at LSU. Look at all those receivers that the Bills don't have. Okay, and so I think that this is a match made in hell for that approach between offensive coordinator, wide receivers, pass catching, and quarterback. Quarterback who I respect more than most people out there, but still not a great match. And what's the other part of that match? What's the flip side of the coin is the defense. The defense where you're completely retooling on the back end in the safeties unit between state guys who had been there forever in Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde to now, you know, Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp. And also you lost Matt Milano. Matt Milano is going to be out for pretty much the entire year. You lost Matt Milano. You also lost Tyrell Dodson. And so between that back end and especially the middle of the back end, the linebackers unit and the safeties unit, this is not a defense that's going to keep things really, really tight to where you could stay committed to the ground game and the offensive line-based game on offense, which I think is, you know, what Joe Brady might want to do anyway. So you know, you are going to be throwing it around the yard in these games. You're going to be throwing it around the yard to Mac Hollins and to Khalil Shaker and Curtis Samuel and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Keon Coleman. And, you know, I don't see it. I don't see the vision there. Maybe if there's a long-term vision, but as far as short-term vision goes, all things with a grain of salt, because we know that ultimately this is still the Bills and they're, you know, because they've been good in the past, we just assume they're going to be good again. But I think this could be an utter disaster.
All right, moving on to what we hope is an utter disaster in the New York Jets. As far as I can tell, they're counting on Tyron Smith to stay healthy. Good luck with that. He's as injury-prone as Teron Armstead. John Simpson to not be a one-hit wonder from last year, a guy that I actually really did like. Elijah Vera Tucker to come back from injury, and Morgan Moses for body parts not to fall off during the season. If all of that happens, then we have to get 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers with his coming off of an Achilles injury to turn back into 2021 Aaron Rodgers. And the only sure thing you have on the entire roster on offense is Garrett Wilson, that he's a stud. That's there's no doubt about that. But Mike Williams has to stay healthy. Breece Hall has to stay healthy. Tyler Conklin has to have another year besides what he had last year. My God, the ifs and the buts on offense are almost as much as many as they have on defense, when their best pass rusher is Jermaine Johnson, who I happen to like, by the way. Hassan Reddick has a DNR next to his name. By the way, the only player in the NFL right now that has a DNR, meaning did not report, in the entire NFL is Hassan Reddick. Okay. Mm-hmm. He's tasked with replacing Bryce Huff, who gave them a lot of pass rush last year. You have a stud in Quincy Williams, an aging CJ Mosley, but who's still effective. You have good corners in DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner. Safeties are a little suspect. Michael Carter's a guy that I like. They got Quantes Stiggers, who's a nice rookie. This team has so many ifs that I don't know how anybody in good conscience could be picking them like they are right now in the media, picking them not to make the playoffs, which I can see. Like, if you want to sell me on 10-7 and a playoff berth, yeah, why not? But selling me on 13 wins and 12 wins and the number one seed and Super Bowl berths, not even playoff berths, Super Bowl berths. No, that's not happening. I just don't see it. Your thoughts,
Chris? I think that this is a team that, first off, I don't like how they are organized offensively, with the offensive coordinator position and the coaching and sort of, you know, the Aaron Rodgers de facto coach setup. I think that this is a collection of personalities that is very explosive, or potentially very explosive for bad reasons. And I'll include Garrett Wilson in that, between Garrett Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the coaching, at the top, even talking about Robert Saleh, and then, you know, the coach that Sean Payton considered to be the worst coaching job he's ever seen in his life, as their offensive coordinator. So I think that, I don't love that, but at the same time, you can't forecast the injuries. I mean, you can say on a broad season basis, I don't see these guys staying healthy, and that's an easy one, but you know, which games are they not healthy for? And then which games are they? Because that's going to matter a lot too, because ultimately, even not liking the organization on offense, it's Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson and handing the ball off to Breece Hall with an offensive line that is, you know, hey, you talk about Tyron Smith being injury prone, but you know, who do they have behind him? They have Olu Fashanu behind him. And that's, you know, we talk about our Patrick Paul, you know, behind Teron Armstead. Well, I'd rather have Olu Fashanu than Patrick Paul, that's for sure. You know, that's not, I don't mean any offense to Patrick Paul. He's coming along and I get it. But yeah, I think that Tyron Smith, they're not as dependent on that health because of what they did in the draft, which was very smart. So I think that then you just have Morgan Moses, who's also real long in the tooth, but he has been a rock as far as participation goes and durability. And so, you know, then you have the interior there. I think with the drafting that they did there, this is starting to look like maybe they did actually improve the offensive line enough to not get Aaron Rodgers killed, whereas last year was a joke. And so I think that if that is the case, you've got Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball to Garrett Wilson and handing the ball off to Breece Hall, and that is enough to give any coach headaches. So offensively with the Jets, it's the combustibility of the personalities. It's the chances of some injuries, you know, including especially at the quarterback position. And then the question of, you know, I question the offensive coaching staff just a little bit, in terms of Hackett's ability to, you know, you're going to have those games. We had this happen to us in week one against the Chargers. If you remember, we come out with a game plan that's just like, afterwards, the Chargers defense is like, what the hell just happened to us? You know, And I think that your coaching staff can buy you a couple, not very many, but a couple of those types of games. And whereas I'm not sure that Hackett will actually ever do that for the Jets. I think that they'll play well. I think they have enough players to play well, but I don't know that he's going to buy them anything like that. Defensively, I just think all the way around, very good, possibly elite level. I like all their players. I like their coaches. I like Saleh as the head coach and Ulbrich as the defensive coordinator. I think they have all the right talent defensively for their system. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they are actually, you know, kind of an elite level defense. If they haven't been already, it's just lucky for us that, you know, we have last year anyway, we got things going against that defense anyway, even if they were good. And we had like 4 out of 5 offensive linemen gone, and Tyreek Hill didn't even play in that second game. And we still hung 30 on them. So hopefully we have something against that defense, but otherwise I think that defense is going to be great.
And you're not concerned with their pass rush at all. They're counting on Jermaine Johnson to be their top guy.
I think he is legitimately talented. I also think that first off, Michael Clemens can play, but I think that they're counting on Jermaine Johnson not to do anything that he's not capable. He is a very, very, very good player, I think, in my eyes. And the Haason Reddick thing, listen, history is littered with these, oh, he's going to sit out the whole year, and then he comes back, you know, a game or two later. I mean, that's just the way things go in the NFL. How often do guys sit out an entire year? It rarely happens. I think that Pittsburgh running back did it one time, and that's pretty much just it. So he's going to be back, and then it's going to be good.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the Jets' schedule, early schedule, it's a little bit it's kind of favorable. They could get off to a pretty good start. And spoiler alert, I do have the AFC's having 3 playoff teams. One of them will not be the Patriots. I think we could do 15 seconds each on the Patriots. I think they're going to be bad. Are they going to be the worst team in the league? Maybe not. Are they going to have a top 5 pick? I believe so. Your thoughts? Are they going to be that bad, or are they going to surprise people this year?
I think they're going to be bad, and then I think they're going to be worse. So I think that when they're going to be bad at first, and then when they go to Drake May, they're going to be even worse. So that's it.
All right, moving on. One quick question. I got 3 teams from the AFC East making the playoffs. I didn't get this from Simon. I do have Simon's predictions here. You got 3 teams from the AFC East or no?
I didn't really project all 7 playoff spots. So I don't really necessarily have, you know, 2 teams or 3 teams from the AFC East.
All right. I do believe that the Jets are going to make the playoffs as one of the last wild cards, but they will.
I think that's so up in the air. There's definitely a coin flip aspect of that.
Mm-hmm. All right, here come the predictions. Simon says 10-7 for the Dolphins, and he has Kansas City and Green Bay in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, with the Green Bay Packers winning the Super Bowl. I will give mine, and then Chris will give his.
Okay.
I have the Dolphins winning 12. I have them winning 12, going 12-5, winning the division, winning a playoff game, possibly multiple playoff games. I think they'll reach the AFC Championship game. If you told me that they reached the Super Bowl, I would believe you. If you told me that they won the Super Bowl, I would believe you, because once you reach the Super Bowl, you can win the Super Bowl. So last year I said 11-6 and they would lose to Kansas City in the AFC Championship game. I missed it by 2 rounds. All right. I won't miss it this time, as Kansas City will three-peat for the first time in history. And I got Kansas City defeating the Green Bay Packers. So 2 of us have the Packers already in the Super Bowl. We have the same matchup. Simon has KC Green Bay, although he has Green Bay winning. I got Kansas City winning for the three-peat. I got Miami losing in the AFC Championship game. I got Miami with 12 wins. What say you, Chris? Win total and the Super Bowl matchup.
All right. Well, win total. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that we've got an early season run that could get out to, we're talking 5-1, somewhere around 8-3. And then I see absolute brutality in the final 6 weeks. At least it's preseason brutality on paper. You never know if the 49ers are all banged up, if the Browns are all banged up, if the Jets are all banged up, you know, so on and so forth. I doubt that Packers are going to be all banged up. They got a pretty young team. So final six game is brutality. And that final six game, I see that I could see us ending, you know, around 12-5. But I could also see us ending around 10-7, and you know, with that final six games. And so, so I will split the baby and go with 11 wins for the total season. I think that, we talked about this a little bit before between us. I think that in the NFC, watch out for the Atlanta Falcons this year. I also like the Tampa Bay Bucks from the, from that division. I think that the NFC Championship game, I'm going to go with a real out of left field, Detroit over Atlanta. So Detroit Lions getting into the Super Bowl. I think Kansas City over Baltimore in the AFC Championship. And then I think Kansas City over Detroit in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. I think that this is a three-peat. I think last year was Kansas City's down year, and they won the Super Bowl on the down year. That's which is really terrible.
If you get, since you gave a sleeper, I'll give you two sleepers, okay? And they're both on the Dolphins' schedule, and I think the Dolphins are going to play two pretty good games against these two teams, okay? I think the Seahawks are going to be good.
They could be.
And I think the Titans are going to be good. Now, are the Titans good enough to like win the division and make a strong playoff run? No. Are they good enough to win 10 games? Yes, I do believe.
I think that maybe the Titans might be 1 year away, but I think that the West or the East to West game over in Seattle for Miami. Let me put it this way: that's the only loss I have Miami taking before the bye.
Yeah, and as far as the NFC, I agree with you with the Falcons. I like the NFC South. I like those two teams, the Bucks and the Falcons. Whoever wins that division is making a long playoff run.
Yeah,
that's my prediction. So whoever, you have Atlanta making it, right? All the way in?
I think Atlanta, not to the Super Bowl, but I have them in the NFC Championship against the Lions.
Right. Yeah, I got something very, very similar because I have whoever wins that division. I'm not sure it will be Atlanta or Tampa Bay, but I do have them making it all the way to the title game.
Yeah.
But losing to Green Bay, obviously. All right. That's it. There is no more. The next time we talk to you, we're going to be in regular season mode because we're going to preview Jaguars, Dolphins. But that's on Thursday when also the season kicks off with the Chiefs and Ravens. And then on Friday, because evidently, you know, eventually, Chris, we're just going to have football Monday through Sunday for about 10 months of the year. Okay. Because on Friday, they're having Friday night football. Okay. Which I always thought was a big no-no. Like, I always thought like it was against the law or it was in the United States Constitution. You can't have pro football on a night where you have high school football kicking off. You know? Mm. So you will have high school football kicking off and people will be at home because they're going to watch the Eagles and the Packers in Brazil on a Friday.
Boy, how much crap are the NFL getting for this game right now?
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's not. Look, when you look, not to get too political about this, but since it's, you know, it's an international affair, I guess I can. If you have to hire subcontractors, meaning not the people that put a gazebo in the back of your house, but the people that carry guns and they have drones and they're connected to the CIA to protect your players, you have a problem. Don't play games there. Okay? When your team has to be accompanied by a group of men that could invade a small country, don't play games there, period. There are cities that would love to have an NFL football game. How about try one in Europe? Or, you know, play a game in Nebraska. Those people, you know, those people deserve rough. It's been,
you know,
so you'd rather go to Brazil than Nebraska, is what you're saying?
Diamond's in Peru right now, right? Like, they should have a game in Peru.
Peru's pretty stable, yeah. Yeah. Fuck, Mexico's more stable than Brazil. Who the fuck thought this shit up? Seriously, who thought this one up? Oh well, the NFL, the wonderful
I
NFL.
like the Peru. I'd like to see a game in Peru.
In Machu Picchu.
In Machu
Yeah. Everybody be dead by halftime, or everybody be
Picchu.
testing positive for cocoa because you take cocoa leaves to go up there.
Oh
So
yeah.
everybody be testing positive for cocaine. All right,
Or
that's
just
it.
kidnapped by all the aliens that you think built it.
Yeah, the aliens that built Machu Picchu, of course. So, yeah. So bad idea, NFL. Okay, don't do it again. Something tells me you'll do it next year again.
Yeah, they'll do it
Yeah.
again.
Yeah, next year, by the way, a sneak preview. They're going to play the Friday night game in Kabul, Afghanistan. So that should be a lot of fun.
That's rough.
Dolphins,
That's rough.
Bengals in Kabul, Afghanistan next year.
I for one hope that the Brazil game goes off without a hitch.
Yeah, oh, of course. Absolutely. All right, that's it. There is no more Jaguars, Dolphins. We talk actual games that matter. So all the trash talking, all the predictions, that'll all be nonsense past this Sunday. But before Sunday, you get us talking about that game on Thursday. See you then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.